Good evening, everyone. Birshus Demar Dasra. I want to begin by saying what a beautiful covet it is to be in this Pesach Knesset. And for two reasons. Number one, because I have an extreme admiration for your Rav, Baruch Hashem, who has been such a wonderful asset to our community, and Baruch Hashem, who brings such a simcha, a zrizos, a slavos, in everything he does. And Ashreichem, I praise how lucky you are as a kehila, Baruch Hashem, to have a manhig, to have someone at your helm who could inspire you to do more, to be more, to grow more. So on the first level, it's a zechus to be the Rabbi Eichen's team together on Erev Yom Kippur. And also, it's a real zechus to be in this beautiful Beis HaKnesses. I feel like I saw this shul, Baruch Hashem, at the different stages. I think from the first time as a drawing in Aryeh Gross's office, to Baruch Hashem, the shell. I think I was here the day that the Aron Kodesh was being installed. I think I did everything but contribute to the building campaign. I'm sure I'll get hit up for that on the way out. But there's something special when you see a Makom Torah, a Makom Tefillah, a Makom of Chesed, literally being built from the foundation, from the ground up. And how special it is to be able to be here with you in this very special place, this very holy place, as we welcome in together what is unarguably the holiest day of the year. And the third reason why it's a schus is because tonight's shir, as Rabbi Eichenstein mentioned, is Le'ilui Nishmas Michal Yehuda ben Ari Zichron Livracha, Eli Klein's father. Eli and I got to know each other just a few short years ago on a trip to Eretz Yisrael. But there are some people who are so special, so pure, so good, that you just want to connect with their neshama even more. You might not agree with them on every single nekuda, but love doesn't require agreement. Love doesn't require intellectual or theological consensus. Love and a chevra shakt is just something that's engendered when you meet someone that's very special. Although I never had the schus to meet Eli's father, I do have the schus to know Eli. And I'm sure that this year, together with all of the beautiful actions of your mishpacha, will provide an aliyah for his neshama. When Eli asked me to come and to deliver this year on Erev Yom Kippur, so of course I didn't want to say no to Eli, and certainly when he told me he was doing it, Le'ili Nishmas, his father, of course I didn't want to say no, but I'm going to be honest. It's Erev Yom Kippur, it's a good time to be honest. I have incredible anxiety speaking around the Yamim Noran. And specifically, incredible anxiety speaking about tshuva. You know, Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his introduction to Oros HaTshuva, writes, he says, there are some subjects that are so overwhelming that you want to speak about them, but you can't speak about them. Everything revolves around them, yet you feel too overwhelmed to even articulate a word about them. And Rav Kook says, lest you wonder what it is that I'm talking about tshuva. Everything in the world is about tshuva. All roads lead back to tshuva. And yet Rav Kook says something amazing. He says, yet this world has yet to experience one real, complete act of tshuva. So it's overwhelming to talk about tshuva. It's overwhelming to talk about the Yamim Noraim. So instead I'm going to share with you tonight, I always preface all of my talks on Yamim Noraim. I said this on Shabbat Shuva as well. I don't give Musr. You have a wonderful Rav. And I'm sure he doesn't have to give you Musr because you all listen very attentively. But you have someone, Baruch Hashem, who could give you the necessary Musr. I'm not here to give Musr. I'm here to share with you some things that I am thinking about, some things that I am struggling with, some things that I'm trying to delve a little bit deeper into with the hope that if we do it together, we'll all have a little bit more Siyata Dishmaya. And we'll begin with number one. From a Sefer Bris Avram, written by Avram Bushara. Avram Bushara lived from 1690 to 1760, and interestingly enough, had two titles to his name. He was the wealthiest man in Algiers, and he was also the Rav of the community. So the Bris Avram writes the following. He says just these simple lines. Tachlis hayomim halaylos. The tachlis, the essence, the purpose of days is the night. So of course this could be understood in different ways. This could be understood on one level to mean that the real way you could tell if you accomplish something by day is only by night. The only time you really have the opportunity to reflect on your day is at night. It could also mean, the Ramchal discusses this as well, the Maharal in his parish on Pirkei Avos discusses this, that daytime is very manic. Daytime is very busy. But at night, a person has time to reflect, a person has time to think, a person has time to ponder. So the tachlis of the days is the night. Tachlis halelo shabbosos. The tachlis of all the days and nights is to get to Shabbos. Tachlis shabbosos Rosh Chodesh. Tachlis Rosh Chodesh Amoadim. The purpose of Shabbos is to get to Rosh Chodesh. The purpose of Rosh Chodesh is to calculate the Yomim Tovim. Tachlis Hamoadim Rosh Hashanah. The purpose, the crown jewel of all the Yomim Tovim, all the Moadim is Rosh Hashanah. Tachlis Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. Rosh Hashanah is not an end. Rosh Hashanah is a means to pave way to Yom Kippur. Tachlis Yom HaKippurim Tshuva. The tachlis of Yom Kippur, the essence of Yom Kippur, is Tshuva. We could take this a step further. It's not just that the essence of Yom Kippur is Tshuva. The essence of life is Tshuva. We often think about the process of Tshuva as an internal, introspective process that is often limited to the days of Elul, Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Maybe you can stretch it to Hoshana Rabbah if you're really in trouble until Chanukah. But that's it. But pretty much then, it's kind of put on the back burner and we're on to other things. What the Bris Avraham is saying is that life is Tshuva. Tshuva is one of those concepts that's a guiding light, not just for a month and 10 days, but it's a guiding light for our entire existence. And tshuva means so many different things. Tshuva means a return to ourselves. We spoke about this last year in the Shiur Rabbi Weinshul. A return to myself. How so often over the course of life we lose certain parts of our persona. We lose certain parts of our innocence. We lose certain dreams, certain aspirations. So the first step in tshuva is really a return to the self. To find myself again. To find out who I really am. Who I really want to be. Tshuva means a return to Klal Yisrael. Because we know, and we'll discuss this more in depth, we don't exist in a vacuum. We exist as part of a collective. And sometimes our lives become about ourselves. Tshuva means we return to our people. And of course, lastly, but not of least importance, tshuva represents a return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because my friends, at the end of the day, the Yamim Noraim are not about saying, I'm sorry. The Yamim Noraim are about saying, I'm home. Ribono Shel Olam, I love you. And even if I veer, and even if I distance, and even if I don't call home or write home a lot, or even if sometimes I do things that make it look like I don't love you so much, I want you to know that I do. I want you to know that I profoundly care about you, and I know that you care about me. A return to ourselves, a return to our people, a return to our God. But I want to zoom in on one particular area. Take a look at number two. The Gemara Maseches Yuma writes, Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina. Gedola Tshuva, Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina says, Tshuva is great. This is on Yuma Daf Pei Vav. This is perhaps one of the most well-known Tshuva sugyas in all of Shas. The whole blot there is talking about all different inyanim of Tshuva. Rabbi Chama says, Tshuva is great. Shemaviya Refua Li'olam. For it brings healing to the world. Shene'emar. Erpam Yeshuva Sam O'aveim Nedava. The Pasuk says, literally, I will heal them from their wayward activities. I'll bring them back. Those who love me, those who love this gift of tshuva, erpa, I will heal them. And of course, everyone tries to understand, what does this mean? Tshuva is so many different things, but why does Rabbi Bar Chama say that it's mevi'a refua li'olam? It brings healing to the world. And there are a number of different approaches. If you take a look at number three, the Bnei Yisaschar writes, he says, Denira, de'in kavanas ha'ma'amar l'refua saguf. Of course, Rabbi Bar Chama is not referring to physical healing. He's not saying that tshuva has some type of physical impact. Rather, tshuva has the ability to heal the soul. And look what he writes. The Bnei Yisaschar says, you know, if we're honest, we're amongst friends here, so we could be honest, right? What's said in Ranchli stays in Ranchli? Is that the rule? I know no one gets that reference, I understand. The Bnei Yisachar says, at the end of the day, even Rabbi Eichenstein is laughing at that. I just want to point out. Okay. The Bnei Yisachar says, what's the greatest obstacle to tshuva? At the end of the day, what is it that prevents the tshuva process from unfolding? And the Bnei Yisachar says, to be honest, because I don't know where to start. Because if I'm honest with myself, there are a lot of things I have to fix. There are a lot of things I have to correct. There are averos I know about, averos I don't know about. There are significant averos, or quote-unquote insignificant averos. There are biblical ones, there are rabbinic ones. There's been adon l'makom and adon l'chavero. And there's so much to do. And the truth is, I get overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by the reality of tshuva. I'm overwhelmed by the avoda in front of me. And says the Bnei Yisachar, how could I ever do a complete tshuva? After all, after all, in order to do proper tshuva, a person has to articulate the particular sin. Even if I want to make amends, even if I want to start again, even if I want to go ahead and say that I'm sorry, I don't even know everything that I've done. So how can I start? And says Bnei Yisachar something absolutely amazing. He says, "Va'al zeh dar shami bar chama da tshuva mevia refua li'olam b'teshuvaso ala chatoim hayiduim lo mevia refuos gama nishkachos nimenu asher lo bikesh alein slicha." Rami bar chama, let me illustrate this to you with a very simple mashal. If a person gets sick, a person has an ear infection. So if I get an ear infection, all I know is that my ear hurts. I don't know. The doctors know what's happening on the inside. I don't know what's happening on the inside. But what I do know is that the pain in my ear is a physical manifestation of an internal process that's unfolding. So what do I do? I go to the doctor, I get the antibiotics, I take it. It takes care of the pain, but it doesn't just take care of the pain. You see, the external pain is what I know. But behind that ear infection, there are so many other things that are happening inside my body that I'm not aware of. But yet I know the medicine is taking care of it. I don't know what the medicine is doing, but the medicine is helping. Says the Bnei Yisachar something amazing. Don't get overwhelmed by tshuva. Just get started. Just start somewhere. Just choose a particular area. Just choose one area where you want to be mechazik yourself. But it's one area. And I have so many things that are in a state of disrepair. It's okay. Because tshuva is like the greatest spiritual antibiotic. Once you begin to ingest it, it has a curative effect in ways that we don't even know. It takes care of us in ways that we can't comprehend. And my friends, let me tell you the profundity of this Bnei Yisachar. Because the Bnei Yisachar is really touching on a dynamic that holds us back from so much in life. You know, there's a term called analysis paralysis. So what's analysis paralysis? If you take any life activity, and this is actually an instructive exercise, you'll do it at home. Take any life activity, right? I want to get into my car, I want to drive from point A to point B. If I sit down and I begin to analyze all the different things that can go wrong, once I get into my car, what's the logical conclusion? What's the logical conclusion? So the first thing is, okay, I'm not going to drive, I'm going to walk. Okay, let's talk about walking. So let's go through all the possible things that could happen when a person's walking. Too many possibilities. So stay home. If you overanalyze anything, it simply leads to inaction. Analysis paralysis. Sometimes in life, what you have to do is you have to think things through to the best of your ability, recognizing that in life, rarely can you have all of the answers on the front end. Instead, you just have to make the best decisions at your disposal in the moment that you're making them and go weiter and just go forward. And you know what? You win some, you lose some. Sometimes the decisions we make are great. Sometimes they're miserable failures. Says the Bnei Yisachar, how many people lose out on opportunities in life because of analysis paralysis? How many people, I hear this all the time, Rabbi Eichenstein hears it as well, where people say, I'd love to take this on, I'd love to start this, but, and what's always the but? What's always the but? I don't know if I could keep it up. My dear friends, I have news for you. No one could guarantee that they could keep up anything. just like none of us could guarantee that we'll be here tomorrow. Just, and I don't mean to be morbid, just real. None of us could really guarantee anything in life. And so if I overanalyze things to the point where I need all of the answers on the front end before acting, it leads a person to a life of inaction. Says the Bnei Yisachar, Gidola tshuva shemaviyah refua li'olam. The beauty of tshuva, ingest it, start it, take it, and a little bit in just one small area in life could have ripple effects beyond our own imaginations. Yes, there are so many things that I don't even know that I did wrong. There are so many areas I have to create change. There are so many areas I have to improve. But don't wait until you figure out a plan for everything. Just start. Just start the process. And I'm going to use this as a segue for something else. Too many of us have a flawed understanding of the Yamim Noraim. And sometimes it's because of the education we received, or sometimes it's because we picked up the wrong messages along life. The Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. The Ribbono Shel Olam cares about us. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not looking to punish us. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not looking to say, I got you. I got you. You did that thing wrong, you didn't say you're sorry, now you're going to get it. The Ribbono Shel Olam loves us more than any love that we could ever imagine. As much as we love our children, as much as we love our spouses, as much as we love our parents, we love our friends, the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us even more than the greatest human love that exists. And if Ephraim Bar Chama is saying, you don't understand, you don't have to be perfect. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't demand perfection for one simple reason. He created us. Perfection is not in the cards. We don't need perfection. All we need is a little bit of effort. All we need is a little bit of a jump start. All we need are the spiritual booster cables to start doing tshuva in one particular area of life. And once that one area starts, it's like a spiritual tidal wave. Suddenly a person begins to feel things that I never felt before. Begins to feel confidence, spiritual confidence. Begins to feel dveikus. Begins to feel a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Begins to feel a love for Torah, for mitzvahs, for his fellow Jew. How? One act of tshuva. One little thing is all you have to do to get the process started. But the Maharal understands this a little bit differently. The Maharal number 4 writes in the end of the right-hand side paragraph A, Dolecha, ki atshuva hi la'adam, mitzad ki ha'adam nivra b'haschaloso b'lochet. The Maharal says the concept of tshuva, the concept of return, is a concept that is given to man because man was created without sin. So you understand, of course, although we often translate tshuva as repentance, that's etymologically flawed. The Lashon of Tshuva of Soloveitchik points out, he says, the first time we see the word tshuva in Tanakh is by Shmuel HaNavi. The Navi says, Uteshuva so harama. Shmuel HaNavi was the first circuit judge. He would leave his home in the beginning of the year, make his way around Eretz Yisrael throughout the year, and come back only at the end of the year. Tshuva means to come back home. Tshuva means to go back. Now, the Rav says so beautifully. He says, life is a circle. The only variable is the size of the radius of the circle. That's the only variable. Everyone comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some people come back quicker. Some people come back slower. But at the end of the day, everyone comes back. Says the Maharal, the notion of tshuva is based on the yesod that man has the ability to go back to his beginning. The beginning of Adam HaRishon. The beginning of Adam pre-chet. V'kasher hu shav al Hashem Yisbarach. As ha'adam chozer al haschaloso. When a person comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I go back home, because I can't say enough, that's what Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, that's what life is. Life is about going home. Life is about Ribbono Shel Olam, hold me, hug me, embrace me, and I love you and you love me, and let's be together, let's not be apart. When man returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he returns back to that state of Adam HaRishon prior to the sin. Mipnei zeh, ru'uya ha'tshuva lahavi refua li'olam. Listen to this. What's refua? A person is healthy, then a person, Rahman al-Zan, is sick. Refua restores a person back to their previous state of health. What refua means is taking a person back to an earlier stage. He goes on, he says, V'kasher b'nei adam, osim tshuva, v'chozer el haschalasam, ha'olam gam kein chozer el haschalasam. And here the Maharal says something that I think is absolutely amazing. The Maharal says, when people do tshuva, and they return back to their beginning, back to their origin, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, back to the state of Adam HaRishon prior to the sin, then you know what happens? It's not just man that returns. The world also returns to its beginning. And listen to these words. I underline this purposely. Letakim kol kilkul shehu ba'olam. You know what the Maharal is saying? The Maharal is saying that when I do tshuva, when I heal myself, I heal the world. When I heal myself, I heal the world. Ulefichach amar gidola tshuva shemevia refuah li'olam, kasher ha'olam mistabek b'haschalaso. You know, my friends, the world needs an incredible amount of healing. Incredible amount of healing. When you look around, what goes on in the world? Here again, just a few days into the new year of Tavshin Ayin Zayin. And just yesterday again, a terror attack in Eretz Yisrael claims the lives of two innocent people. Of Yosef Kirma, 29 years old, who just got married 3 months ago. 3 months ago. Starting a new life. And to hear his halmana giving a heartbreaking eulogy by his kever about the plans they had, about the opportunities they had. Levana Malichi, 60 years old, who was also killed, leaves behind 3 daughters, 7 grandchildren, a husband, that we come here for a shir tonight, for Eli Klein's father, too young to be a yaslam, too young to be without a father. And this community, your community, is no stranger to tragedy. We had a very difficult year. With the untimely passing of Daniel Lansky, Zichron Livracha, the world is broken. The world is broken. And so often we look around, and that's just looking in our own Dalet Amos. I'm not even talking about if you open the newspaper and look at what goes on in the rest of the world. The amount of human suffering, the amount of pain, the wars, the starvation. You know, a Jew can't just live in his Dalet Amos. A Jew is responsible for all humanity. A Jew is responsible for what happens in every single corner of the world. If there's pain and if there's suffering in this world, it doesn't matter. My people, someone else's people. Somehow, again, that's misyachis. To me, I have to relate to it. The world is a difficult place. And says the Maharal, we often wonder to ourselves, so what can I do? I'm one person. How do I heal a broken world? To which the Maharal says amazingly, Amar Rami Bar Chama Bar Rabbi Chanina. Gidola tshuva shemevia refuah liolam. When we heal ourselves, we heal the world. Some way, somehow, when I heal myself, when I bring myself back to Gan Eden, when I bring myself back to the state of Adam Rishon before the sin, when I do my part to uplift myself, some way, somehow, I heal the world a little bit as well. Now maybe you won't be able to see it. And maybe you won't be able to point and say, oh, I made this situation a little bit better. But we're bigger thinkers than that. We don't need to be able to point our finger to some result to know that the result is unfolding. Gidola tshuva, says the Maharal, when we wrap ourselves, when we heal ourselves, uplift ourselves, we heal the world as well. And this is lesson number one for tonight. Because often we find ourselves overwhelmed by the realities of this world. All you need to do, you know, Lady Yitzhak Abraditcha brings down, I like come here because I can use all my Hasidish Torah. It's wonderful. Rabbi Yitzhak Abraditcha, my kila's had enough of it already. But Rabbi Yitzhak Abraditcha brings down a close to Zohar that says that if you listen closely enough, you could still hear the Ribono Shel Olam saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. First Dibra, if you listen closely enough. Now, interestingly enough, we know that scientifically sound continues to break down into smaller and smaller components. What the Rebbe was saying is, if you're tuned in to the right frequency in life, you could hear a lot. If you're tuned into the right frequency in life, you can't turn a corner without hearing someone crying. If you're tuned into the right frequency in life, you can't pass by a home asher ein sham neis, where there's not some problem, there's not some difficulty, there's not some overwhelming nisayon or challenge. So you have a choice. You could switch frequencies and decide to live life just for yourself. You could switch frequencies because the pain is just too overwhelming and I can't take it. Or I could say, if I hear the pain, it's because I could be merapet. If I could hear the pain, it's because somehow I can do something about it. Gedola tshuva shemevia refuah li'olam. There's not one of us here that doesn't either have a painful situation in our own lives, or doesn't have a friend who has a painful situation, or doesn't know someone who has some type of overwhelming nisayon. And we always wonder, what could I do? And there are many things on a tachlitic level that we can do to help out. But on a ruchni level, just know that if I make myself better, if I lift myself up, I'm helping that heartbroken neighbor. If I lift myself up, I'm helping that almana. If I lift myself up, I'm giving chizuk to the oz yisomim. If I lift myself up, I'm helping that couple with their shalom bayis. That's gedola tshuva. How great the opportunity we have by lifting ourselves up to bring a little bit of additional refuah to the world. But we'll take this one step further. If you look at the line in between sources 4 and 5, so you'll notice something amazing. This is from Unisana Tokef. So Unisana Tokef is such an important tefillah that we say it on both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And there's an amazing line in here. The line says, "U'malachim yachafezun," literally again, "u'vechil ura adu yochizun." The malachim are trembling. The malachim are trembling. The angels are trembling. They're gripped by fear. "V'yomru hine yomadin." Behold, the day of judgment is here. "Lifkot al kol tzva marom badin." Literally translated, to go ahead and judge the entire celestial host as well. Now, there's an obvious kasha on this. There's an obvious question on this phrase. What's the obvious question? What's the not-so-obvious question? Is the coffee machine working downstairs? So it's not... What are the malachim worried about? Right? What are the malachim worried about? Remember again, the Yom HaDin doesn't pose a problem for the malachim. The malachim don't have to worry about tshuva. The malachim don't have to worry about bechira. You know, living life without bechira definitely has its pluses. Again, there's a glass ceiling as to what you could accomplish, but the liability is capped as well. Malachim don't lose any sleep at night. They don't have to worry about what they've done wrong. They don't have to worry, I should improve over here. They are what they are. No growth, no opportunities, no upward mobility, but constant stagnant holiness. So the obvious kasha is, why are the malachim gripped with fear? What are they worried about by Yom HaDin? And amazingly enough, again, how come the malachim feel it and I don't feel it in the same way? How come again we don't have such a similar phrase that speaks about what happens here in this world? What are the malachim all anxiety ridden about? If you take a look at number 6, this is actually from a beautiful book called Yomim Noraim by Shai Agnon. Shai Agnon is most well known as an Israeli poet. 5. I'm sorry, did I skip one? Number 5. Is it number 5 on your sheet? Shai Agnon? Okay, so my numbers are up, I'm sorry. Alright, the Yomim Noraim, Shai Agnon. So Shai Agnon is most well known as being an Israeli poet. What people often don't know is that he was also an outstanding Talmud Chacham. He chose to focus his energies elsewhere, but he wrote a beautiful small volume called Yomim Noraim, where he's a malakit. He just compiles a whole number of different ideas. And he quotes over here from the Belz Rebbe, Sar Shalom of Belz. And he says the following, "Umalochim yichafezun b'chilu ra'ada yochezun, pachad zeh shalam alochim mahu." What are the malachim all fearful of? "Elashiyadua sherotzon abori yisparach shalam alochim yilamdu sanegoria al Yisrael." Listen to what the Belz Rebbe says, so amazing. What is the point of malachim? What is the point of malachim? The Belz Rebbe tells us the point of malachim is that they are supposed to be our advocates on high. They are supposed to be the ones that are constantly advocating on behalf of Klal Yisrael every moment of every single day. V'mistakil b'malachim, im yotzim yidei chovasam zu klapei am kodsho. Amazing. So comes the Yomim Noraim. The Ribono Shel Olam does judge the malachim. And how does he judge them? Did you advocate sufficiently and successfully on behalf of Klal Yisrael? So the Malachim u'Malachim yichafezun. Malachim yichafezun. Did we advocate successfully enough for Klal Yisrael? My friends, you understand what this means? This means that the Ribono Shel Olam created an entire barrier, an entire creation called Malachim, just for one purpose, and that's to advocate for us. Ein lav gedola mizo. Just all entire purpose of Malachim is to advocate for us. So they're judged also. Did they advocate sufficiently? But go to the next source. The Arameir. Number 6. The Arameir. And the Arameir says something so beautiful. He says, "V'soy nechu re'ei anirmaz bepaiton unesana tokef kedushas hayom." ומלאכים יחפזון וחיל ורעוד יחזון ויומרו הנה יום הדין לפקוד על כל צבא מורום בדין והכל לכוון הנזכר. Listen to this. Leos, I'm in number 5, number 6, excuse me, 3 lines down. Shakodesh Baruch Hu Yoshev al Kisei Din, God is sitting on his throne of judgment. V'tzofe umabit haniglos v'anistaro shal ma'aseh b'nei Adam. And Hashem Baruch Hu is looking at all the actions of man. Im ru'uyim livro b'shvilam esa olam mechadosh. V'nimtza, kishedan es Yisrael im livro b'shvilam esa olam. Memela kolos ha'olamos v'hamalachim. So the Aramaic says something amazing. He says, what's happening? What's the din on Yomim Noraim? He says, the din on Yomim Noraim, you see, we often think that it's just a personal din. Right? There's Sefer Chaim, Sefer Meis, that's the din. Aramaic says, there's a cosmic din. The cosmic din is every single year. You know, we say, ha'mechadesh betuvo b'chol yom tomin ma'aseh bereshis. We believe that the Bria creation is recreated every single moment. That is true. And says the Aramaic, every single year, come to Rosh Hashanah, the Ribono Shel Olam has to make a decision. And what's the decision? Should I recreate the world again or not? Should I recreate again for the 5,777th time or not? That is the divine shikul. That is the divine question that the Ribono Shel Olam is contemplating over the course of these days. Well, when God is thinking about whether or not He should recreate the world again, what happens? The malachim get all nervous. Shekol atzman lo nivru'u kiyem b'shul Yisrael. Because you understand, and this ties into what the Belzebub was saying as well. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides chas v'shalom, that He doesn't want to recreate the world again, that He doesn't feel the need to recreate this world again, then guess what? All the supporting systems fall away as well. Why are malachim created? Malachim were only created to be Mesham Eshas. Malachim were created ultimately again to somehow serve man, to advocate on behalf of man, to help man, to do different things for man. The whole celestial sphere was only created ultimately again for man. If the world ceases to exist, then by definition, everything else ceases to exist as well. Therefore, says the Arameir, something absolutely amazing. You know why the Malachim are trembling? Because the Malachim are in the worst possible position. You know, the worst thing in life is sometimes when you have to be dependent and beholden on others. You know, we all have situations in life where I know what I have to do, I know what I want to do, but I can't, I need other people to do their chelik first. It's a very frustrating circumstance to be in. The Malachim are in that situation. Because right from the beginning of Chodesh Elul, they're sitting up there, they're pacing back and forth, and they're wondering, is mankind going to get it together? If mankind gets it together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will again recreate the world, and then we have life as well. We have existence as well. But if at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not see a reason to renew the world again, then if the world's not here, there's no purpose for us as well. My friends, you understand the profundity of what the Ora Meir is teaching us. Take a look at number 7. This profundity is already expressed in a Mishnah Masechah Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says, "Ulahagid gidulaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'adam tovea kama matbeos b'chosem echad." Man could coin a whole number of coins with one coinage. Right? We have the ability to make coins, a whole bunch of coins that all look exactly the same. V'kulam domin zeh lo zeh. U'melech malchei hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu tava kol adam b'chosamo she'adam arishon. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us all with the imprint in the image of Adam Arishon, and yet what? Ve'ein echad mehen dome lechadero. And yet again, none of us look alike. None of us look alike. And as the Gemara says, the same way that we don't look alike externally, certainly internally, we are worlds and worlds apart. Why? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just mint human beings in the same way that we mint or we coin money? To which the Mishnah says, Lefichach kol echad ve'echad chayiv lomar bishvili nivra ha'olam. To teach us one very important yisod. The world was created for you. The world was created for me. Not that the world was created for us as a collective. Not that the world was created for humanity or the world was created for Am Yisrael. Those are true statements as well. But the truest statement was kol ha'olam nivra ela bishvili. This world was created for me. That's why I don't look like you. That's why I don't think like you. That's why I don't feel like you. And that's why, again, we are all separate and distinctive human beings, because each of us have to live life with the mantra of Kol Olam Nivra Bishvili. It's a beautiful thought. It's a beautiful thought. But you know, the Rebbe, Bunim Pshischa, brings down, he says, this is a very dangerous thought. He says, because it could lead, unfortunately, to an exaggerated sense of self, to egocentricity. So the Rebbe used to say that a person should have two pockets. And in one pocket, he should say, Kol Olam Nivra Bishvili. The whole world was created for me. In the other pocket, he should say, Va'anochi Afar Ve'efer. So the whole world is mine, but I'm dust. I'm nothing. But what does this mean, Kol Olam Nivra Bishvili? Take a look at number 8. Rabbi Nachman says so beautifully, Ki Tzorich Kol Adam Lomar. Every person has to say, Ki Olam Lo Nivra Ela Bishvili. Ninsa, Ki Olam Nivra Bishvili Tzorich Liros Ula Ayin Bechol Eis B'tikuna Olam. Rabbi Nachman says, what does it mean? The world was created for me. What is it? Is this an entitlement thing? The world is mine? Magiali? It's owed to me? You know, if there's one thing that we personify, we are the antithesis of an entitlement ideology. We don't believe the world owes us, God owes us, or anyone owes us anything. We live life with the mantra of Bezeh Asapecha Tocha Alechem. You want something in life? Go make it happen. Put in your hishtadlus. Hopefully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you out. He'll partner with you. You'll make things happen. What does he call Olam Nivra Bishvili? And Rabbi Nachman says something amazing. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I put you in this world. Sarach Ani. I'm just going to read the second line again, number 8. Sarach Ani Liros Ula Ayin Bechoes. I have to look and to examine and to contemplate at all times. B'tikuna Olam. How can I fix the world? To fill that which is deficient and to somehow daven and act on behalf of those deficiencies. Rabbi Nachman says something absolutely amazing. Kol Olam Nivra Bishvili, the world was created for me, is not a statement of entitlement. It's a statement of obligation. It's my world. Just like in my house, if the paint is peeling, I have to take care of that. No one else is going to take care of that for me. This world is my world. And when I see something deficient, and when I see something broken, and when I see something damaged, and when I see something in pain, Kol Olam Nivra Nivra Ela Bishvili. It's my world. It's my world. And therefore, I have to make a difference. It's my world, and therefore, I have to roll up my sleeves. It's my world, and therefore, I have to figure out how to be Mamali the Chisaron. And the Ramchal writes this as well. If you look at number 9 in Derech Hashem, the Ramchal writes, Va'al Kein. Ramchal is bothered by a fundamental question, which in reality is the million-dollar theological question, which is, why did the Ribono Shel Olam create such a ridiculously imperfect world? The Ribono Shel Olam could do anything. He could do anything. You know what the first time this question comes up? Where's the first time? The first time this theological issue is raised is where? I'm going to put my hands down. The first time we find it raised is by the Bria. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating the trees, he said it's supposed to be an Eitz Pri Oseh Pri. It's supposed to be fruit trees that create fruit. And Rashi says, what does Rashi HaKadosh bring down? He says, Tam Eitz Kapirio. The fruit was supposed to taste like fruit. The trees were supposed to taste like fruit. And what happens? Torah says, when it comes to the actual creation, it's Eitz Oseh Pri. So Rashi HaKadosh has a very strange verbiage where he writes that the Eitz, the tree, didn't listen to the Tzivui. So of course, this can't be understood literally. A tree doesn't have Bechira. Can't choose to disobey God. The Maharal says so beautifully, the Gur Aryeh brings down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally said, I'm going to create a perfect world. A perfect world is in perfect equilibrium. It's totally symmetrical. So the tree is, the fruits are sweet, the trees are sweet. But then when it comes time to actually implement, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, change my mind. God could change his mind also. I'm changing my mind. The world is going to be imperfect. In other words, the Ribono Shel Olam created the imperfections by design. You know, we often think, and I want to be careful when I say this, we often think that when things don't go the way we planned, something has gone wrong in life. It's not true. You know, we have the concept of Gamzu L'Tova. Gamzu L'Tova. You know, Gamzu L'Tova is not something you say When you have absolutely no answers, you're exasperated, but you still want to sound frum. Right? I'm so tired of this. He says, it's such a terrible situation, but Gamzul Tova. Right? Sounds good. That's not what Gamzul Tova means. Gamzul Tova is one of the most profound theological statements we have in all of Judaism. Gamzul Tova means, Yibono Shel Olam, you created an imperfect world perfectly. You created the imperfections. The imperfections are by design. The imperfections are part of the plan. They're not aberrations. They're not some type of blip on the radar. They're not some kind of speed bump. That's part of the tachlis, which then begs the fundamental question, so why? Ribono Shel Olam, but to be honest, those blips and those bumps and those hurdles and those imperfections cause us an incredible amount of pain. So why do you do it? And look at the Derech Hashem writes in number 9. Va'al kin gazer v'sider sheyivru inyone shlemos v'inyone chisar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and He created that there should be some things in this world that are complete and some things that are deficient. V'tivra b'riya sheyihye b'ha efsharus l'shnei ha'inyonim b'shaveh. And He created man. And man has the ability to either amplify the shlemos, the completion in this world, or to amplify the deficiencies in this world. He says, "V'yitnu lebriyah emsoim, shayoda tikna liatzma es hashlemus, v'tadir mimena es hachasronos, v'az yikra shenizdame b'mashia esha labora v'tia ruyi lidavra." So I'll say the rest. I'm going to quote the whole Derech Hashem. But he says something amazing. Do you know why the Ribono Shel Olam created the imperfections in this world? And my friends, this will forever change your life if you've never heard it before. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the imperfections to give us the opportunity to partner with Him in the creation of the world. You see, if the Ribono Shel Olam delivered us a finished product, if He delivered us something that was already complete, if He delivered us something that was already perfect, if He delivered us something that was already good to go, then what's my tachlis? Then what's my purpose? Then what am I doing here? Elamai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I created the imperfections, and I know the imperfections are painful. I know the imperfections are overwhelming. I know the imperfections sometimes cause you to look heavenward and just ask, why are you doing this to me? Kaylee, Kaylee, Lama Azavtani. Why, Ribono Shel Olam? I'm one person. I can't be so much brokenheartedness. I know that's what you say. Some HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, understand, I'm giving you the opportunity to partner with me. I'm giving you the opportunity to roll up your sleeves and help me perfect the Bria, perfect the creation just a little bit more. I, God, laid down a magnificent foundation. I did a good deal of the heavy lifting. I left these pockets of opportunity for you so that you could do some of the heavy lifting, so that you could partner, and in partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we become the Ribono Shel Olam's partners in Ma'aseh Bereishis. Take a look at number 10. There's an amazing Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Histakel b'shlosha dvarim, v'yata boli de'avera. So look at three things, you won't come to sin. Do malo malo mimcha, ayin ro'a v'ozen shamas, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. So know what's above you, a seeing eye, a listening ear, and all of your actions are recorded in the Sefer. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says something absolutely amazing. The Baal Shem Tov has a magnificent drash on this Mishnah. I don't know that it fits so well into the words, but it's beautiful. So he says the following. He says, Da mala mala mimcha means, after 120, you know what's waiting for you. After 120, the Ribono Shel Olam is going to ask us how we lived our life. And often we wonder, after 120, what is the metric that God uses to determine if I lived a successful life or not? Says the Baal Shem Tov, there are two questions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask me. Number one, Ayin Roa. Says Baal Shem Tov something amazing. Every single thing we see in life, we see for a purpose. There is no such thing as a situation or a circumstance that we see that we weren't supposed to see. Ozen Shoma'as, what did you hear? The Ribono Shel Olam says, I put things in your line of vision. I put things within auditory range because I wanted you to hear them. I wanted you to see them, and I wanted you to help with them. You know, sometimes we run across some type of difficult circumstance. Somebody's going through a difficult time, and what's our response? Nebuch, right? Gemar Chasim Tov, it should be a better year, right? Or I'm going to add you to my Tehillim list. And those are beautiful things, to feel pain, to daven for someone, absolutely. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, if you see tsar, if you see difficulty, do you know why the Ribono Shel Olam is allowing you to see that? You see, because he's saying, that's our, you can do something to help. You hear a shmua, you hear about something, you hear about some type of struggle, some type of issue. Do you know that Ribono Shel Olam has placed that message in your ozen, in your ear? Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu is saying you have the ability to help. Ayin do malamalim imcha. After 120, what the Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to ask us is, did you respond to that which you saw? And did you respond to that which you heard? Or did you just let it aside? Did you let it crack? Did you say, ay nebach? And then I went on with my life. Because why? Says Vashem Tov, kol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. Because at the end of the day, you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu records? And my friends, this is very important. This is just Shmuel Silber's thought. I really don't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends his days recording our Averos. I don't believe it. Number one, because that's like a time and a half job. It's a big job even for God. But that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking out for. Of course, you know, there is the repercussions for everything. It's Din V'Cheshbon for everything. But the Ribono Shel Olam looks for more than anything. What he writes in his Sefer, did you partner with me in creation? Did you partner with me in Maaseh Bereishis? Did you partner with me in fixing the world? Did you partner with me in alleviating tzar? Did you partner with me with helping your fellow Jew? Did you partner with me with reaching out to Jews who are not like you? Did you partner with me in reaching out to people who are beyond your immediate circle of friends? Did you partner with me to fix the imperfections that I purposely put in this world to give you the opportunity to roll up your sleeves and to become a partner in Maaseh Bereishis? Did you take advantage of the opportunities that you saw? Did you help out with the opportunities that you heard? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. That's kol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. That's what the Ribono Shel Olam at the end of the day records each and every day. Our averos, he knows we commit averos. He created us. He knows our frailties. All he asks us to do is to say we're sorry and to try to do better next time. Our mitzvos, of course, the Ribono Shel Olam gushes over our mitzvos. He loves our mitzvos. There's not enough reams of divine paper to record all the beautiful mitzvos, but at the end of the day, says the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, after 120, the Ribono Shel Olam is going to ask us, did you partner with me in creation? Did you roll up your sleeves to help out? Did you take it? Did you help those things that you saw? Did you somehow alleviate the pain of the things that you heard? And this is our second interpretation for tonight. When Rami Bar Chama says, Gidol tshuva shemeviya refuah li olam. The first approach was the Maharal's, which is that when man heals himself, so man heals the world. But perhaps you could also suggest that there's a corollary to that, which is that when man heals the world, he also heals himself. You see, there are two different paths back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, they're both correct. And the truth is, we're best off pursuing them both simultaneously. One path back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is I lift myself up. I focus my energies inward. I know I have to grow. I know I have to do. I know I need some course correcting measures and activities. And I'm going to lift myself up. I'm going to start small, like we saw in the Mnei Yisusra. I don't have to accomplish or fix everything. I'm going to start somewhere to lift myself up. When I lift myself up, I lift the world up with me as well. But the second approach of the Arameyer, of Rabbi Nachman, of the Ramchal, of the Baal Shem Tov, is that sometimes when you partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you heal the world, you also end up healing yourself. The two different jirachim, the two different paths of tshuva. Heal yourself, and by definition, heal the world. Or heal the world, and by definition, heal yourself. They're both right, and they're both absolutely necessary. These are the two components of tshuva that I think there are so many difficult part about speaking about tshuva, is to try to figure out, you know, where to start and where to stop. I know when I have to stop. But to know, everything on tshuva always comes up short. Every discussion of tshuva always comes up, but there's more, and there's always more. Person can live till 120 years, and like Rav Kook said, I'm still never going to capture the entirety of tshuva. But at least for our purposes on this Erev Yom Kippur, to understand these two drachim, if you want to fix the world, first step in fixing the world is fixing myself. Lift myself up, and I lift up the world. But also understand that each of us has a holy mission. And that holy mission is not just simply to say Nebuch, or to Krechts, or to just say Tehillim for someone who's having difficult times. It's to say to myself, if I heard about it, if I saw it, If I know about it, the Ribono Shel Olam placed that in my Dalet Amos because he wants me to be a partner with him in creation. And I want to go one step further. The greatest way to ensure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews the Bria for another year is to pledge ourselves to partner with him to build this world together. As much as we say, yes, I can put everything on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he will go out and support me and take care of me. What Ribono Shel Olam wants more than anything is a synergistic partnership with mankind. I created the foundation. I'm asking you to help me solidify the edifice. And all I'm asking of you is what you see, what you hear, and what you know about. I place that in your life. I'm just asking to roll up your sleeves. I'm asking you to help, and I'm asking you to partner with me. And I want to end off with one last piece. If you take a look at number 11, because there's one more very important piece in this discussion. You know, all the parashios leading up to Yamim Noraim, so the parashios that we read, each of them contain their own important message of tshuva. So a few weeks ago, we read the parasha of Bikurim. So the Torah says, V'lakachta me'reishis kol pri ha'adam asher tavi me'artzecha, asher Hashem alokecha nosein loch, v'samta batena v'alakta al-mokom ashei part. So the Torah says, you'll take the first fruits, you'll bring them up to you, shalayim, give them to the kohen. Beautiful. There's one problem. The Torah, of course, does not include any extraneous, unnecessary information. You look at this pasuk, What immediately strikes you? V'samtem batena. Why does the Torah have to tell me to place the bikurim in a basket? What does it matter? I spoke about this on the Shabbos, the Parshas Kiseitzei. You know, and if I want to use the 7-mile market bag, right? Again, as we know, residents of Baltimore, there are all kinds of uses for 7-mile market bags. Baruch Hashem, it's like the nes nigla of this community. Hat box is a lot. Why do I have to say, put it in the basket? Why do I have to say, put it in the basket? Why don't you just say, bring the fruit up? Why do I have to go out of the city and tell me the basket? So if you look at number 12, the Medrash writes, V'samta batena malamit she'tu'unin kli. It teaches us that no, you have to dafka bring the bikurim in a utensil. In other words, that a person might say, I'll just carry it in my cloak. I'll carry it in a... No, it's got to be in a kli. So why? So number 13, the Chizkuni writes, V'samta batena derech kavod. Why? Because again, on the simple pshat level, is because Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you know, in life, it's not just about what you do, but it's how you do it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, it's not just not to bring the fruit. We have a concept of hidra mitzvah. Whenever you do something, do it beautifully. So don't just schlep the bikurim, but rather go ahead and bring it up in a basket. But it's amazing. In number 14, the Al-Sheikh writes, he says something absolutely amazing. He says, Va'afilu melech Yisrael ba'atzmo, no say hatana shall zav al ksefo. Al-Sheikh says something amazing, which is that even the king has to carry a basket. Now, the fact that a king has to carry a basket, that's not what's striking. What the Al-Sheikh is saying is, you know what's even more striking? That the king has to carry his own basket. Now, the king, there are many advantages, I'm sure, to being king. One of them is you generally don't have to carry your own stuff. The king has to carry his own basket for Bikurim. What's the pshat? So perhaps the idea is like this. You know, Bikurim represents many different things. It's not a shira on Bikurim, but just very quickly. Sfas Emes brings down that Bikurim represents, Torah calls it Bikurim Reishis. Just like we're bringing the first fruits, it represents our return back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Reishis. So others explain that, of course, Bikurim on its most basic level represents gratitude. Rabbi Nachman brings down that Bikurim represents Hischachos, renewal. The same way that the tree dies, regenerates, and sprouts fruit, so too we have the ability to sometimes go into hibernation, but then come back out, regenerate, and once again sprout fruit. And here's the amazing thing. You have these bikurim, and they represent so many beautiful, magnificent theological lessons. But in order to absorb all of the lessons, what is that Kadosh Baruch Hu saying? It has to be in a framework. Let me give you a very simple mashal. We've all had the experience where you ever go into the store for a few things. You go into the store for a few things, like three things I have to get. So what happens when you go into the store for a few things? What happens? So again, a few things turns into five things, seven things, eight things. And you know, you have that moment in the supermarket where you're facing like an existential crisis. What's the existential crisis? What is it? Should I go back for the cart? Right? Should I go back? Because the cart's over there. It's like 15 feet away. I'm here. Should I go back for the cart? You know, it's also a shtickle pride issue. I got this. I can handle this. I don't have to go back for the cart. And so what happens? So again, you begin juggling everything. You begin juggling everything. I'm not going back for the cart. So what happens? If you make it to the counter and nothing broke, so that's incredible as it is. But almost one thing is inevitable, which is you will forget something. Because when there is no framework, when there is no keli, when there is no utensil, when there is no order, when there is no plan, you can't advance your life agendas. The Ribono Shel Olam, when he tells us the Samtem Batenach, what he's saying is when you bring your Bikurim, and Bikurim represents so much more than just first fruits, as I just mentioned to you very quickly, Bikurim represents all the most yisodistic, theological, fundamental ideas of our religion. The Ribono Shel Olam says, fine, you want to inculcate all of these ideas within yourself, no problem. The Samtem Batenach. There has to be a plan. Because if you're going to try to juggle everything and hold everything together, you absolutely will drop something. There has to be a seder. There has to be a framework. There has to be a plan. And this, my friends, is just as important as the previous lessons. If Yom Kippur and Aseret Yemei Teshuva are about healing ourselves and therefore healing the world, if Yom Kippur and Aseret Yemei Teshuva are about healing the world and thereby healing ourselves, each of us has to make a plan. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, if I'm honest with myself, one of the most frustrating things that I encounter year in and year out is that often I fail to make traction on the same few areas in life. Same few things. Not like rocket science. These should be solvable issues. But yet, again, I feel like I'm always spinning my wheels. Why? If I'm honest with myself, because I don't make a plan. You know, we go into the new year with so many beautiful dreams and aspirations. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to accomplish this, and this is going to be the year that I'm going to heal myself, and I'm going to heal the world, and I'm going to listen, I'm going to look, and do all these things. And it's great. And then what happens? One word. Havdalah happens. I go back, I'm hungry, I may put up the sukkah a little bit, and then again, the next morning, you know, I'm up at the crack of dawn for learning, for work, everything else. Life goes back to normal, because when there's no tenet, if there's no basket, if there's no planet, there's no framework, those dreams, those aspirations, those wants all dissipate. Again, it's beautiful kavanas, but kavanas without a kli, kavanas without a plan, kavanas without a framework, unfortunately, don't get us very far in life. And this is our yesod on this Erev Yom Kippur. To not only think about ultimately again, how we could heal ourselves and therefore heal the world and heal ourselves, but to actually use Yom Kippur. You know, you might not have noticed, we spend a lot of time in shul on Yom Kippur, a lot of time. Utilize it. Let's be honest, not everybody follows along in the machzer. I'm sure here everybody does. In my shul, not everybody follows along in the machzer all the time. It's okay. You can let your mind wander as long as it wanders to the right things. There's nothing wrong with during Chazaras Hashatz on Musaf, on Yom Kippur, to take a few moments to yourself and to say, you know what? What do I want to accomplish this year? How am I going to heal myself? How am I going to heal the world? What am I going to do this year? And what's my action plan? How am I actually, Barachel Bitra HaKitana, how am I going to make these dreams happen? That's not Bittelsman. That's not spacing out. That is the avoda of Yom Kippur. If you could emerge from Yom Kippur, not just with your plan, not just with your ideals, your dreams, your aspirations, but the basket and the framework and the plan to contain them, Matovu Manon. I'll just end off with a maaseh. There's a beautiful story that's told about the Choza of Lublin. The story is told that the Choza was a group of Mesnagdim who were very much against the Choza and some of his practices. So there was one man from the Mesnagdish camp who came into the Choza's shul on Rosh Hashanah. And he decided to see for himself if all of what they were saying about the Choza of Lublin was true. So he comes in and he hears the Hasidim are davening so beautifully, everything is so wonderful. But then when they get to the end of davening, the Hasidim start dancing. And this guy loses it. He runs up to the Chozi, he says, Rebbe, I have to tell you, for years I tried not to accept any Lashon Hara about everything that they said about you, but now I have no choice. I've seen it with my own eyes. Who dances on Rosh Hashanah? Who dances on Rosh Hashanah? You know, some people think that the frumer you are, the more miserable you have to look, right? So that if you look like mamish horrible, oh tzaddik. You know, so he says, dancing on Rosh Hashanah? Dancing on Rosh Hashanah? Who ever heard of such a thing like this, dancing on Rosh Hashanah? Rebbe, how can you disrespect, right? He quoted in the Sana Togev, even Malochim Yichafezun, everybody's trembling and you're dancing. The Choza took this man's hand and he said, let me explain to you. So there are two ways to get into the Sefer HaChaim. He says some people get there with their Yadayim, and some people get there with their Raglayim. Some people get into the Sefer HaChaim with their hands through their mitzvot and their Ma'asim Tovim. Some people get into the Sefer HaChaim through their Raglayim because of their Simcha, because of their happiness, because of a profound emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is going to take care of them. I would just like to adjust the end of that story a little bit. I would agree with the Choza. People get in, not just to the Sefer HaChaim, but people are able to accomplish tshuva in two different ways. Through their Yadayim and through their Raglayim. Yadayim represents the way in which we are able to lift up the world. Our Yadayim represent our ability to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make this world a better place, to address those things we see with our eyes and we hear with our ears. Some people make it into tshuva, into the realm of tshuva with their Yadayim. Some people with their Raglayim. Raglayim represents our ability to advance ourselves. Some people partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and heal the world like that and thereby heal themselves, their Yadayim. Some people ultimately come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with their Raglayim by healing themselves and by extension healing the world. Whichever derech we choose, there's no right one. Halavai, we should be zocha to both. But let us hope that in the zuchus of coming together, first on Erev Yom Kippur, coming together again to learn the Ilui Nishmas, Eli's father, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see how much we love him. Because again, it's late, everybody had a work day, presumably people have a work day tomorrow, yet we came out to learn, we came out to prepare for one reason and one reason only. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we love you. Because we want so badly to come back to you. Because we want so badly to do tshuva. We want so badly to heal ourselves. We want so badly to heal our world. We should be zocha miyartz Hashem to have a beautiful year and beautiful yamim tovim, filled with refuah of all kinds. Refuas atzmi, refuas olami, and a natzachos mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu inscribe all of us, together with our families, together with all of Klal Yisrael, for a gemar chasima tovim, halabai we should be zocha, that this should be the year of the Melech HaMashiach, Mehirah B'Yameinu. Amen.